back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Hello there, Dr. Jennifer Curtin. Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hi, we haven't spoken since the election, have we?
No, we haven't. It's been an exciting time.
What about that for you guys, for people who talk politics, busier than you expected, I guess?
Yeah, feels like it's been going on quite a wee while now, and of course they just keep throwing up more things for us to talk about.
Woohoo! we've got a new government.
We do, and it's looking quite interesting. I don't know if you read the speech from the throne last night or yesterday, but
I heard bits of it.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible kind of language and really full of hope and progress and aspiration. So,
oh, imagine a country that had that.
I know.
Oh, yuck. It's, I think it's really exciting. I'm very excited. I think everyone's it's all going very well. It seems though that maybe the new government has been given a bit of a bum steer by the former government, and inherited a bit of a shitstorm.
Yeah, I think you know, National has said that they're pretty determined to flex their muscles as an opposition, and we really saw that, you know, writ large with the sort of like threatening not to vote for the election of the speaker and the whole, you know, you don't have the numbers and so what are you going to do kind of thing that happened the day before yesterday. So it did look really messy, and
yeah,
a lot of the journos in the press gallery got very excited about
this. I was going to say, cue the journalistic explosion of, look, it's already gone wrong!
It was really quite incredible watching the headlines, I have to say. I did sort of a very anecdotal poll of people who are not in the press gallery and you know, regular Joe and Josephine blogs on the street saying, what did you think about the vote for the speaker and the alleged debacle that this was? And they're like, what? You know, like, can we just get on with policy and get on with business? So I think, you know, I think for National, they're going to have to be careful about not looking too feral for the sake of going negative. They're going to, you know, it was good to see them support the parental leave vote through in the end. You know, it's that kind of thing, like, go hard on policy opposition, but don't look like, you know, you're getting all sort of like, you know, sourpuss on this, because ultimately not everyone lives in the Wellington bubble, and it may look like sour grapes on behalf of the government for too long, and that's a bit risky.
Has that been done before? Is there a precedent for that sort of thing that's happened in the House before?
My understanding is that it is, but I suppose it sort of surprised me. What was more surprising, I think, was that you can sort of see in a way perhaps that Labor, its whips maybe, and whoever's managing the process in the House hadn't quite got their head around the rules, hadn't quite done the numbers properly. But I think it's a really good lesson to have learnt in what is largely, you know, a momentary sort of almost ceremonial.
Maybe a lesson that that's they're going to regret having taught to Labor so early on. Yeah, they could have maybe saved that for a more sort of deliver a more crushing blow later on. But the thing worries me is that there was somebody in National who was sitting there going, hang on, look.
Yeah.
Oh, and then that was their plan for the day.
Well, know, and then, yeah, they're sort of saying that they did
a deal. High-fiving the hell out of each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even the young Nats watching from
Well, I suppose they have to get their wins where they can take them right now, because even though they're a really large opposition, they're still an opposition, right? So it's very hard to get wins on the floor of the House when you are in opposition. So they'll want to keep those photos, you know, for a wee while yet, so that they can feel good. I think the other thing that they'll feel that they've won here is that that Labor has resisted going for just 96 members, you know, positions on select committees, and gone back to the 109. And you know, I do wonder why Labor wanted to
how does that benefit National?
Oh, it makes sure that all their caucus members are involved in the select committee, you know, have a place on a committee.
Right.
And, you know, committee work's pretty important to demonstrate, even when you're in opposition, that you're a working politician.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah.
So I mean, and I think it was always a bit of a risk for Labor, reducing the numbers and excluding some of the opposition members from committee work, because it would have looked like they, you know, there would have been claims of this is undemocratic, hounding them a little bit, you know, so that the perception of it might not have gone down too well as time progressed, because we know that the previous government did a lot of work under urgency, and you know, Labor called them out on that, as did a lot of the public. So they'd want to look different in that regard.
Are there, tell us a little bit about the process down there when it comes to handing over a government. Are there sort of like a, does everyone sort of, do you have like a PA sort of hand over to you who sort of does that, helps you, like, you know, like a helper? Do you have a helper?
Yeah, there'll be some like training sessions and stuff. I think that the thing that the ministers will be getting a handle on at the moment will be, you know, they'll be, all the government departments will have put together these briefs to the incoming government, and they're quite large documents, so they're going to have to really get a handle on where the nitty gritty elements of each policy program and the positions of each government department and the state of the budget are at, and so that, there's quite a lot of hefty research work and briefings they're going to have to get over the next few weeks.
Any particular portfolios gone to anyone in particular that you're excited about? Do you think, that's a good call?
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool that that Jacinda's taken on child poverty as a special portfolio of her own, really gives that some mana. I think Julianne Genter is a very cool choice for Minister for Women. She'll really put some grunt back into that. My only concern is that, you know...
Some grunt back into the Ministry for Women.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think the problem for this is that, you know, for issues, gender issues to be dealt with really seriously across portfolios, it really needed to be a minister inside Cabinet, and the fact that she's not inside Cabinet means that she's going to have a champion from Labor sort of working with her on the issues that she wants to raise to make sure that that those that cut across a range of other portfolios get dealt with.
Now tell us about Grant Robinson that needs to decide on a new Reserve Bank governor. Why is that hard? Why is it so important?
Well, it's an independent position, but they need to have a close working relationship. The new government is looking at changing the Reserve Bank Act and wanting to put a measure of and a commitment to full employment into the regs around that. You know, I mean, these are sort of macroeconomic settings that the Reserve Bank has to work with, and they really matter to the way in which a government will work around issues of inflation, the cash rate, exports, imports, you name it. And so he's not going to want someone who's, you know, going to take a completely different, perhaps, dare I say it, ideological position on notions of, and Robertson is using the term active government, and how far a government can be active vis-a-vis monetary policy.
Right. It must be hard, too, to find somebody in that game who isn't a scum or villainy who's in the banking, really. But you know, to try and get someone who you can be sure doesn't have any other interests. I mean, because I guess to get to a position where you would be nominated for that role, you have to have been working in the industry or have an absolute intense knowledge of the industry. And so then you have the potential for you know, jobs for mates, favours for friends, you know?
Yeah.
You'd have to be careful for that, wouldn't you?
You would, and they'll be vetted very carefully. But I do think that they're not everyone out there who could take this position would be an arch neoliberal economist. There are probably some...
That is a banking position, just remember.
Huh?
That is a banking position.
That is a banking
in
position.
In the banking industry. Bastards.
No, I was just going to say actually the news that trumped everything yesterday in a way, at least on Twitter, was the death of the first cat. So Jacinda Ardern's cat got run over yesterday.
I know, poor. It was sad. We announced it here too. It was very sad.
Yeah, it was. And I noticed that a lot of people were accusing Gareth Morgan of being insensitive about this.
He's been insensitive. At least he's been consistent. He just needs to drop that. He needs to really needs to drop that policy, doesn't he?
Well, it's been a busy week for him, given that it looks like the Morgan Foundation is wrapping up and he's going to put his money into building his political party back up, or up further than 2%. And you do wonder if he's learnt very many lessons about why he only made 2% in the last election, you know, in terms of his personal leadership style of a political party. So, yeah, he might need a few more, a bit more
PR
spin work done on him.
Maybe no Sean Blunkett. Hey, the interesting things happened with the leaking the news, the following news after Winston Peters' benefit. And clemencies were announced. It turns out that before the election, before the election even happened, so on September 22nd, he filed papers to say he was wants to sue the some members of the National Party and a journalist down in Wellington, a TV3 journalist, in regards to leaking his private information. So he decided that before the election even happened. Does that mean that he had decided he was going to run with the Labour Greens coalition before the election, do you think? Does it make it obvious that's what he thought?
If you join the dots, that's what it suggests, doesn't
it? That's pretty weird, isn't it?
But I suppose that he was very angry about the leaking, there's no doubt about it, and he had clearly had intentions of being litigious about it, and that's that in itself shouldn't be surprising.
I love the way it's just a sleeping time bomb and then, turned out.
But, I suppose it is kind of, interesting to see now that he is Deputy Prime Minister, see a Deputy Prime Minister, going hard after all these people, in this way.
So, especially this new muscular opposition.
Yeah, so I suppose it'll be an interesting one to play out, and I just hope that, his busyness in this space doesn't kind of mess up what the big, the big policy stories that the government is trying to get out, that because it does give the media, yet another opportunity to engage with Winston in ways that aren't always helpful.
And he does have a big job to do now.
He does. Although, he's away doing stuff. He'll be, away doing stuff with David Parker on the trade deal that, allegedly is going to get signed later this week or early next week. So he will be busy and perhaps personally a little less in the camera lens as what he's been in the past.
Like you said, that would be good because it's good to know they're working, isn't it?
It is good to know they're working hard in the lead up to Christmas.
In the holiday season. Hey, thank you very much, Jennifer. Thanks for talking to us. Nice to speak to you again. We'll speak to you again in a wee while. All the best.
Thanks.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.